Friday, February 14, 1941. Talk to Lauren Sani about the Dunamis work in the U.S. and begin to pray about the possibility of his working with us. I recognize in this man so many things that are needed in this type of work. We must find young men if we have to comb the 48 states to find them. And then Sunday, September 7th, 1941, a series of entries at the Kern Y about a conference and a leadership conference and a camp. And then Monday, September 8, 1941, arrived home from Kern Y, found telegram from Sani saying that he expects to be with us. Wednesday, September 10, 1941, Sani arrives to work with us. Fellows spend afternoon fixing upstairs of garage. And Lauren has never stopped fixing the garage since that time. When I talked to him this afternoon, he said, what was it, 25 years ago? There you were, fixed garage. That's tremendous. Well, this is very, very encouraging to have you here to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Lauren and Lucy being with the Navigators. And as I said, this is a family time, and family is here. Family in the broadest sense of the word, not just the kids of the Sannies. But we want to welcome several of the family, Toby and Judy and Caleb. I don't see Caleb, but Caleb is home. Okay, Toby and Judy are here. John and Cheryl are here. Downings and Tom and Pam Sani. And Gene Worley is here. So good to have the Sani family with us. The theme, as you can see, is a little one shall become a thousand. And we want to pray to that end that this will just be the beginning. And Lila Trotman, if you would come and commit the time tonight in prayer. So please come up, Lila.
Shall we pray? A little one shall become a thousand. And every time I hear this scripture, Lord, I think of Lauren Sani. And we thank you tonight, our wonderful Lord Jesus, for the privilege that is ours of being invited to this gathering. And then, as I've said to a few tonight, it's wonderful that God kept us for such an hour as this. And we're very, very grateful for Lauren Sani and for the years that God has used this man in untold ways. And he perhaps is a great, 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 great grandfather many, many times over spiritually. And Father, we thank you for the life this man has lived. We thank you so much that you gave to him Lucy as a life partner. And we love Lucy. We adore her. We thank God for her. And Lauren could not have done it without you, Lucy. And the Lord Jesus knows that. Father, we thank you that before the foundation of the world that you chose Lauren to be just what he is today. And you chose the parents that he was to be born through and by. And Father, we thank you for that wonderful day. And then, as though it were yesterday, I can see Lauren walking in our front door 50 years ago today. And what a joy he has been to our family. And dost love this man like almost like no other. And they, Father, we thank you for what our ears heard tonight from Jerry White. And that's history. And it's marvelous to our ears. And we've lived to see just exactly what happened in this man's life. And as he's walked among us, we're better by far. Because he not only came our way, but he stayed. And we praise you for that. Amen.
Five years ago in the Great Hall, right where we sit, we gave thanks to God for Lauren's 30 years of leading the Navigators as our international president and general director. And on that occasion, we presented to Lauren a book of memories and mementos from the staff from around the world. Tonight is a little different. We have not gathered all of those kinds of things. Tonight it's a two-way street. It's for some folks to reflect on what God has done in the Navigator ministry through these 58 years, and in particular the 50 years that God has allowed Lorne to be with us. And it's also a time for Lorne to share personally with us some of his thoughts. Now, in my instructions here, I'm to introduce special guests, but there isn't time because you're all special. But I do want to introduce a few people to you, and some will be on the program a little later. Of course, you've already met Lila Trotman as she has prayed, and I'd like these folks to just, as I read, go through the various names, just to stand and for a moment, and then we'll just kind of give a little word of applause to each of you, but I would like you to stand. There are three here who have been Lorne's personal associates, serving as an assistant through the years. And the first of those is Walt Henriksen. Walt, I saw you walk in. You'd stand, and to Dick and Marge Fisher, and Jack and Shonda McQueenie. And just remain standing, if you would. And then Don and Eleanor Rosenberger. I didn't see. Did Don get in? Still driving down from, pardon me? Just arrived. Okay, pardon me? Okay, we'll bring you in just a minute. They were co-laborers in the Los Angeles office and field leader in the 50s. Hank and Eileen Dawson. Hank and Eileen, they lived in the Sandy's home in Pasadena. Bob Newkirk, is Bob here? I thought Bob was going to, there you are, Bob, back there. Bob was a Glenary director in the early days, and when he was a NAV rep in Okinawa, he got a young Marine called Chuck Swindoll underway for Christ. And Pat Lovelace, did Pat get down from Denver? Pat was Lorne's secretary in the mid-60s. Betty Skinner, where are you, Betty? Stand up, Lorne. Betty has served Lorne so closely and faithfully for many years. Jean and Irma War, who've come tonight from Oklahoma, wonderful friends of the NAVs, and we pricked him tonight. Navigator blood runs in his veins. And Irma, of course, worked for the NAVs years ago. And then I didn't see whether he came in, but one of our board of directors, Verley and Perlene Sangster, did they get in yet? We'll introduce them later if they did not. New members of our U.S. board. And then I'm going to have a difficult time with these next names, but a special guest from Romania, Danut and Mihaela Ministrianis. How's that? All right, folks, would you stand up? Danut, where are they? There they are there. Let's give them all a hand. So. Now, one couple who really wanted to be here tonight were Charlie and LaRue Riggs. And Charlie shared with me on the telephone, and Margie typed it out, a greetings for Lorne. He said, Lorne, how much I would like to have been with you on this 50th anniversary of your ministry with the Navigators. I would like to stand up and tell all who are present how much not only I, but LaRue, my wife, appreciate and through the years have appreciated the ministry that the Navigators have had in both of our lives. As recently as last week in Papua New Guinea, before 400 pastors, I told about the Navigator's work and how one man, Dawson Trotman, was responsible for thousands of people in more than 60 countries teaching the basics of the Christian life. And I added, I wouldn't be in Papua New Guinea had it not been for Lorne Sanney helping me get started on the basics that I teach today everywhere I go. Thank you, Lorne, for all that you mean to me and the wonderful example you have set to me and that I value to this day. May God richly bless you as you continue to serve Him for the days ahead. And then from Ross Raines in Canada, the Navigators of Canada wish to extend a warm personal thanks to Lorne and Lucy for their faith and service, which has extended blessing to so many in Canada over the years. Since we honor Alan and Becky Andrews as parents of the present generation of leadership in Canada, that makes Lorne and Lucy grandparents, I would say. We're motivated to imitate your faith, as we believe God for a new generation of Canadians, as well as the emergence of laborers for the nations. And then a note from Gert Dornenbaal, Gert and Boukje Dornenbaal, our Navigator Director in Europe. Dear Lorne, what a blessing it has been for thousands upon thousands of people that you joined the Navigators 50 years ago. The Lord has allowed you to become a mighty nation in His kingdom. We thank Him for that. Lauren and Lucy, congratulations on this special anniversary. We love you. We love you and are with you in heart. And so that ends the greetings. There are many others. Well, Cliff Barrows sent us special greetings, Lauren and Lucy. Cliff is taking Billy today to Duke for continued checkup and treatment for her cancer. But he would love to have been here with us tonight. Now, we've asked 9 navigators to speak tonight. Groan. Is that right? We have emphasized to speak briefly. And I need to tell you about these 9 navigators, how we have selected them. They are representative of those who have had a specially deep relationship with Lauren over the years. And each will highlight a little of what that relationship has meant. The first 4 are Jim Downing, John Crawford, better look in this one to be sure I'm right. Yes, Cease Davidson, and Millie Hopkins. And if you all will just come up one after the other, please.
As I came up the hallway and saw signing the book, I thought there'd been a change of plans. And the first thing crossed my mind, I thought we came to honor him, not to bury him. In the early 1960s, the navigators were going along at a regular pace. And we decided early in the 60s that we needed some outside help and we should have some evaluation. So we contacted 8 or 9 people. One was Gene Moore and Jake Barnett and Ford Madison and several others and asked if they would come up and look over what we're doing and give us some advice. So they all consented. We set a day for the meeting. And then we decided we really didn't have anything for them to evaluate. So it was kind of an embarrassing thing to have them coming. And so Lauren came to the rescue and said, well, I'll go up Eagle Lake for 2 or 3 days or for as long as it takes to find out what God wants us to do. We waited very anxiously for him to come down, and after I think about 3.5 days he came down, gathered us together, and opened up the Bible to Isaiah 54, a very familiar passage. Up to this point, the emphasis had been on the first part of verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. But he had a new dimension. As he came down, the word he had from God, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. And he said, it's the time to let go and start growing. So very soon after that, the navigator's work doubled, quadrupled, and then whatever the next number is, to where that today 100 times as many people involved as in that day. As Lauren saw this coming, he was working on a structure so that the expansion could fit in. And he called me over to the Pink House one day where he had a big chart. And he had down at the bottom converts and then disciples. And then a word I'd never heard, disciple makers. And he said, now Christ commanded that we go and make disciples. And he said, so if the disciples to be made and somebody's doing that, there must be disciple makers. It's the first time I'd ever heard the word. I believe that Lauren coined that word himself. And so the entire body of Christ today is thankful for that word, which has been added to the Christian vocabulary, which Lauren originated, coined, and we're grateful for it. So, Lauren, thank you for coining that word and making it a household word throughout the body of Christ.
Last week, I was on the phone with Lauren, and he was telling me all the reasons why we shouldn't have this get together tonight. He's explaining that, my, he says, I don't need people to say things about me. And I agreed. I said, that's right, Lauren. And he says, my, I don't need anybody to show appreciation. They've already showed appreciation. I said, well, we sure have. You know, and finally when he got through, I said, Lauren, I agree with every bit of it. But we need a party. So I'm glad I'm here. Me mate Donald, you know, he called a week or so ago. And he said, John, we're inviting a few of the older fellas. Well, he didn't actually say older fellas, really. He said earlier fellas. And he mentioned the fellas, Jim Downing and Cease and Charlie. And then he said, we're going to have some of the younger fellas, Leroy Ames It sure is thrilling to me to be with an outfit that has young men like Leroy Ames and Skip Gray. I suppose at a party like this, it'd be all right to tell old people stories. I thought about telling bald-headed stories, but then I realized I was bald when I came into the outfit. But you realize that this whole party is about a person who's worked at one job for 50 years. That's not his age. That's he's been with the same job. And he had jobs before that. And so I'm sure that... I've had the privilege of living with Lauren and Lucy. And by the way, this should be Lucille night, really. I think this should be Lucille night. How many wants to be that? On second thought, let's continue with Lauren Knight. We'll have another party with Lucy and I. I had the privilege of living with them in Long Beach, California. And I remember coming in one day, and Lucille was just had to wash, and she was just about to hang it out. We hung out the wash in those days. We still hang it out over in Oklahoma. And I said, Lucille, with a woman with your talent, you should be baking pies instead of hanging out the wash. And before I realized it, I'd taken over the washing duties. But I've been trying to sort out the many things that I appreciate about Lauren. One of the things that I appreciate is that Lauren doesn't hold out for his own way. He doesn't necessarily have to be right. Many times through the years, he let me be right, as long as I'd keep going with the work. And I've appreciated that about Lauren. But perhaps the greatest thing I think I appreciate about Lauren is the fact of his stick-to-itiveness, his tenacity, his tenaciousness. It's kind of like you take a piece of horse meat and you give it to a bulldog and you get it and you can just lift him right up just like that, you know. Well, that's Lauren Sandy. He doesn't give up. And I'm sure glad, because in my early days with the Navigators, I asked Lauren for man-to-man time, and he took the time to give to me a 6-point checkout system. Quiet time, memory work, 6 little points. Then later, I learned how to do verse analysis from Charlie Riggs. So I'm still doing 6-point checkout and verse analysis. I haven't progressed all that far. But I appreciate that, and perhaps above all, Lauren, I'm glad you didn't give up on me. Thank you.
I took time to tell the spiritual impact that Lauren has had on my life, my wife's life. I wouldn't be here for a while. But they said, tell something of human interest. And the only thing I can think of that's down to earth is an incident in Dawson Trotman's home in 1947. When there was a meeting of several fellows for the weekend, and some character put an alarm clock in a great big alabaster chandelier in the bedroom, set it for 2:00 in the morning. And there was quite an arousal in that. I didn't happen to be in that room when the alarm went off. But for some reason, and circumstantial evidence, I was appointed to be the fall guy for that incident. And so they had a kangaroo court. And I didn't see any kangaroos. I didn't even see any Aussies around. But they had a kangaroo court, and so they chose the prosecuting attorneys and the defense attorney. And Lauren Sandy was my defense attorney. And he stood up with great wisdom and possession of carrying on the conversation. He said, "My client is not capable of knowing how to set an alarm clock." Nevertheless, I was found guilty and thrown in the fish pond. The moral of the story is, if you are being defended by Lauren Sandy and you're guilty, don't choose him.
Great.
Well, Lauren, do you remember Dawson's All Aboard? As the entire office crew crammed into his two-door Oldsmobile and headed for headquarters in downtown Los Angeles. Well, I came on board when you and Lucy had just returned from your honeymoon. It was some years later that I became your secretary, but you trained me on the job. To be a lifetime office worker was not in my career plan. But it seemed to me that you never intended to be general director and president of the Navigators. I wish I had a quarter for all the times you threatened to resign. How you longed to be Lauren Sandy, private citizen. But you couldn't quit because your orders came from the Lord Jesus. So you gave it your all. Well, from the secretary's viewpoint, you always keep a clean desk and you hold your secretary responsible for all of the files except what you're actually working on. Well, after some fruitless searches for lost papers, the standard defense became, "It's not in my briefcase, and I didn't take it home." Most of the time, you were right. Well, through the years, I've watched what happens as you face new tasks. And I noticed that, first of all, you pray for wisdom to know God's will and the courage to do it. Right? And then you study the elements involved from the Word of God and from the best authorities available. Then you reduce the basic principles to their very basic ingredients. And you put those principles to work until you achieve success. Then you train your replacement and give him the responsibility, and you stand by and coach. Right? Okay. But one thing that's very typical, you are constantly prioritizing your priorities. You plow into the A's, you put aside the B's. You know, I haven't worked with you for a few years, but have you ever gotten to the C's? Well, Lauren and Lucy, too, you've had many hard decisions, often with great personal sacrifice, but always with courage and integrity. You've truly sought the kingdom of God and all these things. Multiplied disciple makers around the world have been added to you. So thanks for sticking to your priorities and giving me the tremendous privilege of assisting. It's been a great life.
You didn't need to groan. They did perfectly well. That was wonderful. And on time, even. Right now, we'd like to break the testimonies up a little bit with a few snapshots from Lauren's life. Some are serious and some are not particularly serious. From the 1940s to the present day. Now, many of you in here who will recognize people will be very angry at us because we go through these so fast, because you want to talk about what you see. But we're going to go straight through them. I might make a comment or two on the way. But these photos underline several things. But one is how much Lorne traveled as the work became in many, many countries and many nationalities around the world. At this time, we'll just have Leroy Imes, Skip Gray, Jim Peterson, and Lorne Libby. Did Lorne get back? Oh, there you are, right there in front. Just drove in from Kansas, and Donald McGilchrist to share. So just come on up one at a time.
On August the 10th of 1951, Lorne wrote me a letter on the famous Navigator blue stationery with the blue typewriter ribbon. Lauren C. Sanney, Vice President, President and Treasurer of the Navigators. And his reason for writing to me was that he might just express a vote of confidence in me. That was the kind of the sum and substance of the letter, just to sort of encourage me, I guess, as a young guy just getting around the Navigators. He wrote a note and said, We have some confidence in you. Not much, he said, more or less a vote of confidence in you. But anyhow, I took it as a positive thing and was very happy to get it. And you know, as I look back, that's what Lorne has continued to do with me for the last 40 years, to express a word of confidence from time to time when I need it. And how did he express that confidence? Well, I have down one big word, and that is freedom. Lorne gave us a lot of freedom to do a lot of stuff, and that had never been done before in the Navs, as a matter of fact, freedom to invent new things. And I jotted down here this afternoon various things that happened under Lorne's leadership. Some very strange things emerged from that. Wingdings, fraternity meetings, hootenannies, dorm meetings, summer training programs, one-day conferences, hippie houses where we fed them tubs of brown rice and gallons of tea, and barn parties, and the WEFBC, which is the Wild-Eyed Fanatics Breakfast Club, and 30 hours a mile high in the Hayloft Opera, and campus-wide debates, and an evening in space where we actually had a NASA space capsule on the grounds of the university. And I thought about all those things that we were doing. And underneath it all, of course, was lots of personal man-to-man time and Bible studies and all the rest. But I jotted down under Lorne's leadership, we not only had freedom to do all kinds of things, but we had lots of fun doing it. And in the process, we saw thousands of people come to Jesus Christ. And through it all was sort of an unwritten job description for every one of us that came under the leadership of Lorne Sanney. That was to be fruitful and multiply. If it fit within those two things, if there were people coming to Christ, if there were people turning to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, if it contributed to the salvation of souls and raising up of laborers, Lorne would be right there with us saying, go to it. Thank you, Lorne.
I'm glad I'm a member of the younger group, Leroy, aren't you? you and I can re-enlist. Is there going to be a ceremony downstairs tonight where we sign up again? That's great. In the history of the Navs, probably as far as having a steel trap mind, a keen analytical mind, the two men that instantly come to mind are Lorne Sanney and Walt Hendrickson. But even steel traps sometimes go soft. It was in the late 60s, Lorne was conducting a regional directors meeting, and after days and hours and on into the night, we were having dinner with Lorne down here in the den, and Lorne and Walt began to talk about a hotel that they were familiar with somewhere in Alaska. And Walt, with his inquisitive mind, said, Lorne, on a scale of 1 to 5, how would you rate that hotel? And Lorne thought, on a scale of 1 to 5, I'd rate it a 3.
Walt said, is one high or low? And I started to comment about the stupidity of that question. And Lauren, in all seriousness, said, one is high. I don't know how soon we broke up the meeting. I cannot read Corinthians 15:58 without thinking of Lawrence Hanning. The reason is that long before I heard him preach on it, he lived it. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I think the reason is because Lauren, more than almost any other man I've had the privilege of knowing, co-laboring with, has been steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Word of the Lord. The man's life is an incarnation of the promises of God. He's just lived it out, fleshed it out, given us freedom, as Leroy said, to do all kinds of wild things, and God blessed a lot of it. Lauren, thanks for the privilege being part of the family, part of the team. If they re-up tonight, I'll be at the head of the line.
I remember the first time I heard you speak, Lauren. It was summer of 1957. Here at the Glen, my wife and I were spending the summer here, and someone got Lauren to tell his story. And he got to that part that we all know, where he described himself as this simple farm boy with the stubby fingers from Iowa. And I found that hard to believe. You know, the farm boy part, yeah, that's... And the stubby fingers, no doubt. I mean, he has stubby fingers. But the simple part, there's no way. I've never seen a mind as fascinating as Lauren's. There's this tenacity that John was talking about. Many times I've seen Lauren take an idea and go after it. He'll get his Bible out, make sure he has the issue straight, talk to a few experts, and then just vanish and stays up all night. And 40 days and 40 nights later, he appears with the issue in tow. And has it worked out to where it's a non-issue and everything seems clear. And combined with that ability is this honesty. It's kind of a deadly honesty. Sometimes it's embarrassing. He's so honest. And I've seen Lauren make choices against his own opinion and against his own emotions many times. Well, you take these two characteristics, A, the tenacious mind, and connect it with B, which is this honesty, and you get a very interesting result, something you'd never expect from an Iowa farm boy with German descent, you know, and that is you get an open mind. And that's one of the things that I've enjoyed about Lauren over all these years, and I've tested it, I think, to the limits many times. Remember in 1971, I was invited for the first time to participate in the ILT, International Leadership Team. And the idea was that I would perhaps begin to oversee the work in Latin America. So I got on the plane, came up from Brazil. And when I got here, I found myself in a very difficult situation. A number of ugly rumors had gotten up here and circulated about what we were doing in the ministry in Brazil. The problem was they were all true. And so some of the fellows in the ILT were having trouble with that, and in the back room it was getting pretty sticky. So I went to Lorna and I said, hey, could we have this out? So the next day we met, some of the guys are here that were in on that. Maybe you remembered, I don't know if you do. But I took a couple of hours and explained to the guys what we were doing, and then opened my Bible and showed them why we were doing it and asked if there were questions. And there were a couple of questions. And that was it. It was over. And I was just stunned because I thought, well, that settles it. Yeah, that settles it. And I found that that really is the way we operate. In this outfit, if it's biblical, you can do it. And it's amazing how few organizations allow the kind of freedom that we enjoy. And we owe that to you, Lorne, just giving us that kind of freedom. In the next years, as I worked under Lorne, I would describe the relationship as being, I enjoyed great freedom, but it was accompanied by penetrating accountability. And that's a good combination, because it takes the freedom to be able to go and do with people what needs to be done, but it takes the accountability to keep from being a heretic. And so, Lorne is quite a leader. And I know that I speak for a lot of guys when I say that I, for one, am committed to protecting this heritage that we have of this deep commitment to God's truth. And as long as we can hang on to that, we can be sure that the Spirit of God will do the rest. Thank you, Lorne.
Well, Lorne, I guess I represent the baby boomers and the busters. It was 16 years ago. I remember walking up Lorne Sanny's driveway and introducing myself. It was July 1, 1975, and saying, "Mr. Sanny, you don't know me, but I'm your new assistant." And I'll never forget your response. It was something I didn't expect. You said, "Well, you know, let's go on downtown, but I have to get an aspirin first because I have a headache." And I thought that was kind of profound. I think there's a verse in my own life, and I'm sure many of us would certainly affirm when we think of Lorne. And Lorne, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. And I'd like to put it in 1990s language, if I might. It says, "For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many mentors." And I think many of us definitely consider you a mentor in that respect. And I would like to highlight three things where I think you've been a mentor in my own life. First of all, in your values. And a couple of things come to mind. I think one value is your ultimate dependence upon God and your surrender of self. I'll never forget you going to Chicago in 1975, and Bob Foster was having a conference there, and Howie Hendricks was speaking, and Lorne was getting ready to go to Chicago, and that's the first time I can ever remember being on my knees to pray about a trip, literally, to commit the time step by step through, to pray about it when he was there and as we were coming home. And that made a tremendous impact on a young man who at that time was about 4.5 years old in the Lord. The second value that I remember that has impacted me is your concept and your illustration of hard work. I can remember many nights, Jim, you're talking about staying up all night. Well, I can remember picking you up many mornings, and you'd worked all night on a problem, and certainly the tenacity and hard work that came through. I think the second thing that I really highlighted in my own life as I was thinking about this today was your family. You know, it's a rarity these days that among Christian leaders that lives match their message. And Lorne, your life matches your message. And that has been a tremendous thing in my own life, just in terms of putting the family and the priority it had. And the third thing I remember has to do with Lucy that deeply influenced me, and that was Ross Auction House. But let me tell you, Ross Auction House, after many trips down there on Monday, at Lorne's direction, illustrated something of a lifestyle of caring for others, meeting needs. And that characterizes both of you, not only locally but globally, the idea of meeting needs. And I'd say, for me personally, and I know I speak for a lot of people of the younger generation, the example that you provide is a tremendous one to us who are just beginning our pilgrimage in terms of ministry and as the Lord leads us. And just a final word. You know, there's a new generation to influence, and it's in the Navigators right now. And I just say one thing. Don't stop now.
It was deeply satisfying to work very closely with Lorne for 10 years. And in fact, I loved it, and it marked me for life. And I thank you, Lorne, for those 10 years. It was about a decade before that that I first met Lorne in London. He was teaching Christian life and witness classes, and I was his chauffeur. The classes were at his church, and each evening, after speaking to around 1,200 people in our church, I was able to drive Lorne back to central London, and he still had the time to help me, as a young believer, get on track spiritually. And I saw that here was a man who went about doing good, and I loved him for it. Throughout our years together, Lorne burned into me the supreme importance of knowing what you want to accomplish. In 1974, we held a large corporate planning conference in this hall. There were some 30 leaders present from throughout the world, and there was a wide spectrum of agendas. It was complex and it was volatile. But Lorne rose to the occasion. Assailed from every side by competing philosophies, he fell back on the one safe objective. And very sternly, on the very first morning of the conference, he said, "Gentlemen, the only aim of this conference is that each one of us be clear. Lesson, always have an aim." Sometimes these conferences were very tense. Much was at stake, and Lorne's humanity showed through. Once, after an especially difficult day, Lorne asked me over to his home, and we prayed together over the day. But the heavens seemed closed. And so he and I slipped out of the house, past Lucy, and went out to get a large bowl of ice cream. Then we came back, and we knelt together, and we repented of this gluttony. And through this repentance, God led us to make progress again in the conference. During the 1970s, we learned much about spiritual leadership. The navigators certainly lengthened the cords and strengthened the stakes throughout the world. Lorne, in those days, those often turbulent days, I believe personified his own prescription for leadership. He brought vision, faith, and courage to directed effort. And then in the 1980s, when the time came for God to choose Lorne's successor as our leader, I stood very close to Lorne, and watching him preparing so carefully for every eventuality in this process of transferring his responsibilities, I saw that he was sweetly surrendered to the will of God. It was remarkable. So much care, and yet so much faith. Vision, faith, and courage, the things that you have taught me. Thank you.
I need to make just a slight pause in our program tonight and make a couple comments. First of all, if you'll notice all of these flags around the Great Hall tonight, it's hard to even find the American flag, and I'm sure it's in there somewhere. Nevertheless, you probably observed that most of the people who spoke, with the exception of Donald McGilchrist, were American. And that is not characteristic of the work. It happens to be characteristic of the early days of the navigators. And we honor God for what he did through many, many Americans. But the fact is that this is an international work. This is the work that God has, by his sovereignty, taken into well over 70 countries and over 100 languages. And there are men around the world whose lives Lorne has marked in his travels. We did not feel it appropriate to expend the money that would have been required to bring that many people here for an occasion like this, though some of them sent their greetings. But I can think of Kurt Dornenbaul and Joe Simmons and Rob Powery Smith and Badu Situmorang and in Indonesia and Goro Ogawa in Japan and Chris Oliobi in Nigeria and Aldo Berndt in Latin America. And I could go on and on. And that is what the work is today. It is an international work. And God has led Lorne to spend a significant portion of his life in the navigators overseas. I thought it was appropriate to point that out just because of the string of the people that we had up here, but of course who were close associates in the early days. At this point, I'd like to ask Terry Taylor, our U.S. director, to come and share a word. Please, Terry.
Well, Skip, you and Leroy represent the younger generation. At 52, I represent the next vintage of folks on the scene here. Lorne has been a very dear friend, and Lucy, a wonderful helper and a marvelous model to a supporter and a helpmeet and a model to so many of our wives and families around the country. By God's grace and for His glory, as I have known you, you've led the Navigators these years to be truly a global movement of men and women scattered all over the country and around the world, committed to changing the world one person at a time through spiritual multiplication. And Isaiah 60, 22, your life verse, and a verse that God wrote on your heart, has already begun to bear fruit in so many ways, and I trust will continue in the years to come. I, for one, though I'm not one person, I represent tonight so many of us younger people that are 52 and younger that want to say thank you and deep appreciation for your sacrifice, your leadership, your love. And as I think of the leadership that you've given the work, I also think of 1 Peter 4:10, an interesting passage where Lorne, as he has modeled sacrificially the speaking gifts and the leadership in the work, so has Lucy modeled and mentored so many of the wives that have the serving gifts who chose to go that route. And thank you too, Lucy, for the both the knowingly and unknowingly the way that you two have marked many of our lives. But I would like to say personally, as a someone that has greatly profited and from your leadership and from the times that we've spent together, both knowingly and unknowingly, you've been a coach and a mentor and an encourager and a counselor from the 31 days and 6 hours that we spent overseas together on a trip that I see now was a very short trip for you, a very long trip for me. We had, after 2.5 weeks, finally got to Auckland, and we were going to take a day off and walk in the park. And I was low and blue, and all I could think about was three little girls and my wife. And I began to share that with Lauren, and he says, "Well, that's wonderful, but today we're going to focus on the Word and prayer." And I don't know if you'll remember that or not, but it certainly marked me with a number of emotions those days. But not only the privilege of traveling with you over the years, but also the time that you have invited me to join you on your hideaway rock overlooking Glen Eyrie to pray, and the time together was extremely, extremely meaningful. And the time after every trip that Lauren will come by the office and just to drop by and want to know how we're doing and what's going on, and then just want to sit down and listen, and then he always has a word in season and a word of encouragement. So I, for one, Lord, want to thank you personally for that. And one of the things that's happened to me over the last few years, I've had the unfortunate and exposure to so many leaders today that somehow do not seem to be finishing well. As I listen to war stories and one thing that enters into their life and another, but for the mentor and the model of finishing strong and finishing the race that God has set before you, may He give you the grace and the courage to continue that, friend. And I would just, in closing, Lord, would want to one thought that someone shared with me about a year ago was that you may not be over the hill yet, but you sure got a good view of both sides. And having a good view of both sides, I welcome the opportunity for encouragement, coaching, and counselor for as long as the Lord would give you the freedom. Thank you, Lauren.
You know, as I look around at these flags and realize what God has done, it is overwhelming to me. And I think of so many that God has worked through, many of you sitting in this room, to do that. And I wondered when I saw that pyramid. Nabil, were you his guide during that trip? The last one, but not the one in that picture. Not the one in the picture. But it's great to have one of our national country leaders, Nabil Jabour from Egypt, to be with us tonight. Well, I'd like to just make a comment or two on just my personal pilgrimage with Lorne before I just share one little item of a presentation to Lorne. I first met Lorne Sanney in his first trip to Seattle after Doss had died. I can't remember whether I shook your hand or not, Lorne, because I was a college freshman. It was either a college sophomore, I think. It was in the fall of 56 or the spring of 57. I can't remember just which. But the time I remember most meeting Lorne was up in a little key men's conference in the 60s up at your place, Walt, I think in Michigan. And I remember there I met Lorne and I called him Mr. Sanney, and he reminded me his name was Lorne. His father was Mr. Sanney. And got to know him well. Then we got to know one another when I was at the academy, and we played handball together once in a while during my assignment there. But then in 1972, it was Lorne, I believe at the prompting of Leroy Imes, who asked if I would leave the Air Force and come full-time with the Navigators. And that was during a trip to Fort Collins to visit Jay Wheeler up there, in which Lorne gave me a bad time because I got lost trying to find Jay's house, and he said, "You are the regional director here, aren't you?" And then he popped the question on me. Then some of the most delightful times that I've had were from 83 to 86 when I assisted Lorne, having moved to Colorado Springs to help him in the worldwide work. And as Terry shared, Lorne has really been a model for me personally and a very wonderful friend and counselor. I do remember one incident, though. We were in the middle of this selection process over in the Bighorn, and I had just been selected to be his successor. And Lorne came into my room, and when Millie talked about this clean, neat desk, I just slumped down in my chair there, because I cannot keep a clean, neat anything. And Lorne came into my room, and he looked at the other bed, and it was strewn with papers and stuff. And his comment to me, he said, "Well, you know, you could at least keep them in neat piles." That was my introduction in my new job. And so ever since then, Lorne, I've been trying to keep everything in neat piles. I've remembered that. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember those who led you and who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the outcome of their way of life, imitate their faith." And I have no problem following and imitating Lorne's faith. 50 years is a long time for anyone to serve in one organization, Lorne, just as 30 years is a long time for one to lead that organization. And God has certainly called and equipped you for a special ministry and for a special place in our history with the Navigators. And this is, in a sense, a recounting of history, not just of Lorne. And Lorne would be the first one to say that he did not do it alone, and that many of you who are sitting in this room were co-laborers with him and had an equal part. In fact, I think he would say even a greater part in many ways of making this work go and grow. And so, Lorne, tonight, on behalf of the Navigators worldwide, I want to just share a special remembrance with you. To mark your 50 years of serving with the Navigators, we want you to have this plaque of the Navigator wheel. Some of you have seen it before, but it's one I have admired so much. And on it, it says, "Lorne C. Sanney, with gratitude to God, 1941 to 1991, 50 faithful years, Isaiah 60, 22. And Lorne, we want to thank you for being available to God for these 50 years. Would you come and receive this plaque? Thank you, Lorne. Lord bless you. Good. Lauren, just a moment. Got one little other item here. Now, we had planned this just a little differently. This is a poem, and I won't take time to read it all, but Betty and Selva Rohrbaugh put it together with the idea of John Legacy singing it to the tune of Wabash Cannonball. And we had planned that for tonight, but it didn't quite work out. And I'm only going to you have to kind of get the tune in mind, Lauren.
You can sing it.
No, we won't do that.
We have edited in John Legacy singing the Ballad of a Navigator.